Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hi, Sex Nerd. Hey, it's Sandra Doherty, and I am here with another episode of Sex Nerd Sandra. This week, we conclude our adventure, our first adventure into erotic hypnosis. I'm about to have two wonderful people come to the stage, Tish and Gavin. But first, I want to talk about a few things. One, dates, and then two, tidbits that I just really wanted to share with you. So, dates, let's get them out of the way. San Francisco, I will be in you soon, September 15th and 16th. That's next week. I'm teaching Boning 101, the fundamentals of fabulous sex and playful kink at goodvibes.com. Goodvibes.com. It's a place in San Francisco, but you go to goodvibes.com to check out events and stuff. Los Angeles, I will be teaching Snatch Attack, the art of awesome oral sex on September 22nd. That's at the LA Academy of Sex.com site. Check that out too. There's lots of stuff going on. Austin, hey. Okay, the 27th of the 28th, I will be teaching at Forbidden Fruit. So you can go check out forbiddenfruit.com or give them a call for details. That's your local sex-positive, friendly workshop having sex store. Yeah. So there's that. And then New York City, I'm coming to you to teach Boning 101 during New York Comic Con Super Week. That's October 10th. All links are at sexnerdsandra.com. Very Googleable. Very Googleable. So there's that. Let's see. What else? Oh, also New York. I'm trying to get at least one more class happening, probably around the 13th or 14th. So just, you know, I'll tell you next week. I'll tweet about it. Whatever. Okay. I have to tell you about two things. So I've mentioned on past episodes that my sex drive has gone down, which it has. And I know that one of the things that really helps for anxiety, for depression, for sex drive, for a lot of things is working out. So I joined a gym a few weeks ago, and I'm not saying I've worked out a lot. I've worked out maybe 2 or 3 times. You know. But it's weird because it's not like it's not something that I immediately notice. It happens a few days later, like, oh, that's interesting. I'm feeling very sexy all of a sudden, and I don't know why. And then I'm like, oh, well, I did go to the gym. And so, I don't know, it's kind of a neat little surprise to give myself because I'm not expecting it. That's me. I'm just sharing. Now, I also learned something new recently that I really wanted to talk to you about. I keep on forgetting to tell you. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to break it down right now. I did tweet about this, but I didn't go into details. I just learned something. There was a study in 1996 about the shape of the vagina inside the human female. Turns out that women have 5 different shaped vaginas. That's right. I had no idea. Like, I know we're all snowflakes and stuff, but to actually find these shapes, fascinating. Even more fascinating is figuring out why the scientists named the shapes what they did, okay? Because we've got the parallel shape. It's fairly parallel all the way deep. There's conical. It opens up and gets wider toward the back or toward the deepest part. Pumpkin seed. Pumpkin seed, really? It looks more like a wider cone. Like, it really gets into a triangle back there. I don't think of pumpkin seeds like. And heart shape, that one looks like a heart. Okay, I'm with them. And then my favorite, or maybe least favorite, most memorable would be slug shaped. Yes, your vagina or your friend's vagina could be slug shaped. No. Okay, so parallel, conical, pumpkin seed, heart, or slug shaped. I'm like, how did they do this? So there was, first things first, I got this out of a book called Because It Feels Good, which is wonderful, by Dr. Debbie Herbenick. I hope I pronounced that well. I looked up the actual study, and they used something called a polyvinyl siloxane, and it's a silicone elastomer that cures quickly, like 3 to 5 minutes, and it's used in dentistry. So once they mix up all the stuff, they just sort of shove it into whatever, and then it cures. Because I was wondering if these women were aroused while this science was taking place. And I didn't see anywhere in at least the what I could find of the actual study, the abstract, it didn't seem like they were particularly aroused. I also found it fascinating that the lengths of the vagina ranged from 6.8 centimeters to 14.8 centimeters, and widths ranged from 4.8 to 6.3 centimeters. This is the first time I've found some significant available data for me to sink my teeth into. So this is very exciting. If you want even more details, because I love the details, it was 39 Caucasian women, 13 each, having not born children, having had one child, and then multiple children. So 13 of in each group. So of course, more studies I'm sure have been done since. This was in 1996, but this is a really cool just tidbit. Like, the possibilities, the iceberg, tip of it, the tip of it. So, I wonder what shape my vag is, you know? Like, is it, I hope it's not slug-shaped. I mean, I'll still love myself if it's slug-shaped. I'll just be, I'll have to name it something different, because it's not, it's like, what's a slug? Like, it's just sort of, it's like a ping pong paddle shaped, but the end is flat, like it's not rounded at the tip. Top, I would call that, like, it flares out from the opening pretty quickly, whereas the others stay narrow for another little bit and then the rest parallel. And so none of these women were aroused, it doesn't look like, unless they were secretly aroused and they didn't tell them. So who knows, because things change when you're turned on. Oh my, so many things to consider, so many variables. Anyway, enough science talk. I mean, never enough science talk, but, you know, for now. Hey, one more thing. I don't usually blog. I don't know if you know that, but, I'm not big on the blogging. I'm more of a talker, more of a video person. Esquire.com put out a really offensive article this past week, basically just body shaming heavy men. It was supposed to be a joke about men's fashion for guys who are big and tall, and it really hurt a lot of people. And I read it because someone who's big and tall sent it to me, and I was furious. So if you want to go over to sexnerdsandra.com, or if you didn't catch it on Facebook on my page or on Twitter, you can just check it out there at the blog. And yeah, I went off and didn't realize how passionate I am about accessibility to fashion for people of all body sizes. So hey, there's a new thing for me to really, you know, own. So anyway, that was a really exciting thing to create this week. Let's get to it. Okay, so this episode is a lot of fun. Thank you to everyone who came out. Truly, there's some really adorable stuff coming up in this episode. Hey, I like you. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Hey, I hope I see you around the country. I'm doing my thing. I hope you're doing your thing. All right. Now I will release you into the wild. Enjoy this week's episode. Go Team Fun.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
I would like to invite two practitioners who have been doing it around a year and talk to them about their experience together, if that's all right with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You could come over here and Tisha and Gavin, are you comfortable coming up to the stage? How you doing? Yeah? Everyone got enough water?
Look at all of them.
Yeah, getting your drinks? You good? You good? Okay, it's lit. Hi.
There are a lot more of them than there were when we sat down.
Yeah. Look at all those sex nerds. Hello. Hi. So we talked on the phone a few weeks ago about this evening. And we met through me emailing the Black Rose community around erotic hypnosis.
Yes we did.
We're two of them.
Oh, it's sex nerds.
Oh, yeah. She is such a fangirl.
Well, I'm really glad that you knew who I was and emailed me back. Because something about, because I've already got over 150 episodes now. I've been sex educating for a while on all sorts of topics. To find a topic that really excites me that I don't know anything about is just like, eats like lots of candy. It's like, I want to eat all the candy. So it was like, yes, erotic hypnosis. So you two were cool with chatting with me about your experience. And I asked you if you were curious, if you were open to coming up on the show. And you were hesitant, both of you, because you've only been working together on this for about a year or so. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, if you could bring the...
Oh, yeah. A year, year and a half.
About a year and a half. And, yeah. You know, we've met Mark, and we, because of working with the city, we've met so many people that have incredible amounts of experience and incredible skills. We feel really like newbies at it still, and we weren't sure that we really had that much interesting to say.
They are, however, extremely talented newbies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them in action. Yes.
Now, are you two newbies that aren't really newbies? I mean, like, had you ever played with erotic hypnosis before a year, year and a half ago when you started?
No.
And have you two been partners before that time?
Yeah.
We've been partners for 25 years.
Aww.
So, you know, you're always looking for new things. And
Yeah. Keep it fresh. Just like me and my show. But you in love and real life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it works real well.
So how's it been going? I mean, you said newbies, you're saying talented. You mentioned that you like made someone fall over a chair or something.
Yeah. Anytime you're topping, whether it's hypnotopping or anything else, you have to take responsibility for the safety of your bottom. And one night I did not do that. I've forgotten exactly what it was we were working on. We were in our study because our two desk chairs are pretty comfortable, but they are on wheels. And we were sitting knee to knee, and I had hypnotized him, and he was having a very strong, positive, physical response to the things that I was saying.
I was coming really hard.
Now, orgasm, ejaculation.
Quite gotten to that point, and he started to straighten his body, you know. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to fall out of his chair. And I forgot to do this basic thing where I said, and you will be able to remain comfortably seated in your chair no matter what happens. No matter what I tell you or how you respond to me, you will have no trouble at all remaining perfectly comfortable and perfectly safe seated in your chair. I forgot to say that. And I remembered, I have to say that. I also forgot, because it was a fact that I had just learned the week before, that subconscious part of the mind doesn't hear negatives. If you say,
positive.
Don't fall over, it hears the command to fall over. Right?
Like dogs.
Yeah. And toddlers, right? I don't know if anybody here has experience with small children, but if you say, don't touch the hot stove, the hand goes right up there, right? Okay, so instead of saying, you will remain comfortably seated in your chair no matter what happens, I said, now, before you have an orgasm, and he said, I'm coming. And he straightened out his body, and he's sitting in a desk chair that has these kind of half arms. They go from here to here, and then there's a gap. And he straightened his body, and the sleeves of his T-shirt caught in the chair, and he went forward, and the chair went backwards, hit the desk, flipped over, seat down with the back of the chair over his head, and thank God nobody was hurt. And so it's a great story. It's so funny because thank God nobody was hurt, but it was a really important lesson to me. A big part of being a hypnotop is just learning a couple of basics and doing them every time, because it's always your responsibility to keep your sub, to keep your bottom safe.
Can I jump in with the follow-up?
Okay.
So we switch. Yeah. So a couple of days later, I was very careful when she was sitting in the same chair to give her the right directions to sit upright. And I'm sitting in her chair.
Which is smaller.
And she does something, and I start laughing, and I lean back, and the chair snaps in half.
Oh, my goodness.
So hypnosis is really bad on chairs. Make sure you have a good chair.
I think that's so cute. I want a hypno... friends. You said hypno top, and now I'm really liking it. Like hypno bottom, hypno top, hypno switch, hypno fan, hypnotastic.
Hypno friend with benefits.
Hypno friend with benefits.
Speaking of hypno switching, the last sig that we had.
Ooh, what's a sig?
Special interest group.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. So this is a discussion group through Black Rose. Mm-hmm. The last sig, the topic was hypno switching. Mm-hmm. And the young lady, Lucky Albatross, who was doing the presentation.
Her name is Lucky Albatross?
Her name on FetLife is Lucky Albatross.
That's fine if it's on FetLife. I just love that she chose that.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Very cool person. Lots of experience. Slave to a very experienced hypnotist. So she taught a technique to take each other down using fractionation.
Mm-hmm.
The basic idea is that if you start with an induction, I'm not very practiced with this, so.
Okay.
So you take a person down into hypnosis.
Okay.
And then you bring them back up a bit, and then you take them down again. They go deeper. And you bring them back up again, and then they go deeper. But if you do it to each other, if you hypnotize your partner and say, when you wake up, you will hypnotize me, and that will lead to your going down deeper. You can take each other down.
That seems very dangerous.
It was,
what do you have to say, Mark?
Oh, it's fun. It's
really
fun.
Okay.
It's mutual induction, and it's been studied clinically. Charles Tart wrote about it in Altered States of Consciousness. He took volunteers and he had them hypnotize each other. They were both in trance at the same time, and they went together really profoundly deep. They started having like shared hallucination type things. It kind of freaked them out a little bit.
Okay, is that like, I mean, I guess for me, my safety, like the red flags go off in my head, because I think like, all right, you guys, I'm going to do shrooms. I need a grounding person, so if I freak out, they can be like, cool, you're cool. Your ears are still on your head. So that's
really
what I think.
I wish you'd been around in freshman year, because I did not think of that.
Not that I would know personally.
Of course not.
But one of the differences between hypnosis and shrooms is that
I didn't know were kissing cousins like that.
No, they're a lot more spread out on that family tree. But hypnosis really is subject to your own brain's limits. It's you can't get lost in a trance.
Okay.
You just wake up and go about your business.
If something happens that requires your attention, doesn't matter how deep you are, that hidden observer will say, wait a minute, this over here, fire alarm going off or kid crying or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Well,
just like when you're in that highway trance when you're driving and you're not really noticing what's happening, some dipshit cuts you off, you will immediately snap into the here and now and know exactly who to throw the finger to.
Right, because I will snap back into the present to get really angry at someone any old day. Just like, ew.
Yeah, so it's not quite the same as, let's both go get wasted together, because if something happens that requires attention, you'll both snap out and take care of it.
Okay. Right. Because I tried to snap out of subspace once, and I couldn't do it. I was just like, focus, have this conversation. Sorry, I can't focus because of subspace, so I'm going to go in this corner now. Goodbye. Because I had my script already mapped out for when I was a total basket case. So it's like, all right, so you two take each other down. Or would you learn that?
We learn that. We do alternate.
Okay.
I think I'm a cheaper date than she is on the whole.
He's a really good subject.
She's a really good hypnotist.
And now you do... Aww. You said you've been together 25 years?
Yes.
And how long have you... Oh, yeah, a little over a year. So it took you like 23 and a half years before you found out that you had this great compatibility?
It took us 20 years to arrive at kink.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, and now see, Mark, you say that your main kink, your only kink really is hypnotism, whereas Tish and Gavin, you found your kink, and then you stepped deeper into it and found erotic hypnosis. Interesting. We are all truly snowflakes.
Ice cold.
So we don't melt.
Except you don't melt. You seem to be more of a melter than she is.
I can turn you into a puddle.
So what makes them so talented, Mark? Like you said that they were just really good newbies. Mm-hmm. Is it just because they were able to work so well together?
Yeah, they have really wonderful rapport and trust. So, Tish is able to, give Gavin the right look and his mind responds exactly the way she wants him to. When it's his turn on top, her mind knows exactly how to respond. They've learned where each other's buttons are, and they push them relentlessly, and it's really cool to watch.
Huh. Now, that sounds like regular relationship stability stuff, like building trust, rapport, integrity.
Yes.
Those sorts of things are kind of like regular people stuff.
Interestingly, when you hypnotize each other, that's why they those things build kink. A lot faster.
Oh, when you have that all those foundational stuff, you can get into hypnosis
when
much
you
faster.
Start trancing each other, all that intimacy and all that connection forms frighteningly fast sometimes.
Interesting.
Yes. Because you start bonding right here, right at the head level, right mind to mind, long before you even touch body parts.
Huh.
Mm.
It's a very intimate experience.
Is it?
And I think that for you, that intimacy is really the core benefit of going into trance.
That's a lot of it. That's a lot of
the intimacy.
The intimacy, yeah.
That takes a lot of trust. Like, I'm very like, don't do that. Don't hypnotize me.
I've almost never been entranced by anyone else.
Oh, have you two tried?
I'm reluctant to even let somebody else do an induction with me. Because we're so involved in the SIG, I've begun to do it, and it's been okay every time. But I'm really like, oh, nobody touches me that closely except this guy that I married. And then, so I'm just very slow to say, yeah, sure. I'll let you practice your Elman induction on me or whatever.
Like, yeah, you can hypnotize me, whatever. You sounded really tough when you did that. Now, are there any other, I mean, you told us about the chair. Are there any other, like, oopsie moments that you've had? As newbies that, like, maybe if anyone wants to go home and try the stuff or, you know, and read the book and learn, that people should look out for?
That's a very interesting question. Oopsie moments.
Oh, FYI, while you think, you could take pictures of the three of us, just not Mark. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted that, just, yeah, don't look over here. You are getting sleepy over here. Very
nothing
awake.
To see here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Any other oopsie moments?
You know, when you set a trigger, when you set a post-hypnotic suggestion.
Oh, what's that?
Well, once you take somebody into trance, you, aside from the benefit of just having them be relaxed and enjoying the intimate moment, you would like oftentimes in controlling them or giving them sensation, as you saw earlier with Danny, there's
pleasure.
A trigger. Okay,
don't,
nobody
just,
else can see that.
You're on stage right now. Stop with...
Any responsible hypnotist bounds that, so it will only happen at certain times for certain people. So you don't want to set a trigger like pleasure and then have your kids say, it's such a pleasure to have dinner with you two again. Like, you know.
Awkward. Did you make sure that that didn't happen?
Of course.
Okay. Pleasure. Ah.
Mark set that same trigger in Gavin, and then he gave it to me. So when Mark says that, she responds, he doesn't. But when I say, pleasure.
He's wiggling. Wait, did you make him come? He's all facing away from the stage.
Yeah,
that's so sweet.
There's another trigger for a stronger response.
Yeah, but this chair is not really that stable.
Let's be safe here.
Any particular?
Oh, yes.
One. Okay. So here's the scene. Can I talk about the scene at GLS, Grove Lane?
Oh yes, sure.
Okay. So I would say that I am a more enthusiastic sub than Tish is a dom, and
okay.
A lot of the kind of stuff that you do is maybe a little bit cumbersome, you know. The
hypnosis is amazing if you're a super lazy dom and you don't actually want to pack things like rope and
or
nipple
actually
clamps.
Bother with things like clothespins
and spreader bars. Yeah,
yeah. So she's got me in a chair, right? And I believe that I am tied up with my arms spread out,
mm-hmm.
not tied up, and I've got a spreader bar across my knees.
Mm-hmm.
So can't close those. And I've got a large quantity of clothespins on sensitive areas.
Okay.
Very sensitive
like
areas.
Like your balls.
Like my balls, my scrotum, my nipples, my cock. She pulls them off. They all hurt like fuck.
Okay.
That's great.
Getting a sense of what your kinks are now.
Yeah. But she had said that she had... Sorry?
I said, is that my daughter at the back of the room? No, it's not.
Yeah, that could be awkward. daughter's 32 and lives about 4 blocks away.
Oh!
Is always a possibility.
That's
so
really funny.
Yeah, of course, it's the 20-year-old who's actually unfed. So she tells me I have a spreader bar spreading my legs, and then she steps in too close for it to be possible with a spreader bar. She steps in right up to kiss me. Mm-hmm. And I know that she couldn't have done that because there's a spreader bar there. Mm-hmm. So there's this, like, real moment. But one of the things that you do as a hypnotic subject is you adapt whatever is going on. Because you know you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're six and you're playing soldiers. You're not really shot, but you flop over for about 5 minutes anyway, right?
And you almost, like, feel like there's something that just poked you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I absolutely felt the clothespins. I absolutely felt the rope.
Were there no clothespins?
I don't know.
Can I have your hand? I just did that.
Really? So you just lightly pinched in places?
Yeah, and I reminded him, when it came time to take them off, I said, you know, it always hurts more when you take them off. Oh, yeah, he's
very susceptible.
He's a really, really good subject.
So I had to figure out what had happened to the spreader bar. But I knew she wasn't very good at spreader bar, so it just fell off. Yeah.
So you just
I just let it fall off.
Okay, so in your mind, you had to...
I had to work around that.
You know, I feel like if I pantomime something, like in I took an improv class once, not very good at it, but like something like you're like, oh, hey, Mom, how's it going? And you're making a peanut butter jelly sandwich in a pretend kitchen, just pantomiming it. And then suddenly they want you to be in a field or something changes and I can't finish the sandwich or whatever it is. I can't help but like shove everything, like in my mind I have to like push all the sandwich makings like over there, even though there's nothing exists. Like
yes.
Mm-hmm.
That means I'd probably be pretty good at this game, huh?
Oh, you know the I think you told us once that the smarter and more imaginative you are, the stronger your responses are.
Absolutely.
It's a very
because remember, it's your subconscious, your imagination that's doing all this.
I clearly need to get a book. Well, I mean, I already have the e-book. Now I just need to get the book. I should probably give
this
to...
Yes, that's yours right there.
Oh, score. he also brought others, actually. If you wanted to grab one, I think it's $20.
Yep, yeah, so that way I don't have to make change.
But you can also just ask questions and say hi and stuff after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Okay, spreader bar. That's interesting. I'm kind of torn between I want to hear any more horror stories any of you have about when things went when hypnosis goes all wrong, or when things went really right and you were like, ka-ching, I rock.
One of the I'm going to tell a ka-ching.
Okay.
So, okay.
Fine.
So we haven't done a whole lot of memory play, but I combined memory and mammary play one time. It was great.
Wait, memory and mammary play?
Yeah. So Tish is a little. I'm going to go a little cautiously here. Okay. You can do this
one. All right. Well,
she's got like one arm across her body like she's a little uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable? I mean, like...
Yeah. A long time ago, I did a whole lot of breastfeeding.
Okay.
Okay. And so in my sex life with my husband, I have frequently had a really negative reaction to nipple play. I know part of my brain still goes, that's not what those are for, which is frustrating to him. And it's really kind of frustrating to me, too, because I retired from that part of my life. So he hypnotized me one night. And when the hypnosis was over, he brought me back up to consciousness. I said, I remember you telling me that I wasn't going to remember what you just did, and I don't remember what you did. I only remember that you told me I wouldn't remember it. And he said, don't worry about it. And we made love, and he played with my breasts, and it felt amazing.
Oh.
There was like no negative reaction, no jump back. And it was amazing. And the next time was amazing. And I went, I think I know what you did there. And
but it's still effective.
It's still effective.
We're not going to do it.
It's still effective, yeah.
Now, is that similar? Now, okay, when we talk about, like, let's say someone only can orgasm by masturbating on their back and they're having a struggle when they can't orgasm when they're, let's say, on top sexually. And I guess a sex educator will talk about kind of building a new neural pathway and you just have to practice and maybe change the position of your body or whatever. Even though the breast play happened after some post-hypnotic suggestion,
I would think more of as training.
Training. Yeah, would that, even if there was later on no hypnosis involved, would that still help bridge that gap so that the pleasure would now be identified with breast play? Like, does that linger? Mm-hmm. Or is that like, oh, like...
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, okay, so this still counts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ah! Yeah.
And actually, my nipples are very sensitive.
Wired.
And much more
are,
so.
How are your nipples?
Mine are fine.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so when you hypnotize him, you'll work on that.
Okay. Okay. All right, so that's pretty sweet. That's a ka-ching moment.
Yeah.
And memory play can be a ridiculous amount of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we've played memory games, and usually they don't look like much when you demonstrate them, but to the person experiencing them, they're really cool. One of my favorite things to do with people, just in like casual play, is the hypnotic teleport.
What?
We
sound like Cylons in Battlestar Galactica?
Sort of.
Cylons in Battlestar Galactica can imagine they're in a forest when they're just walking down a hallway. It's pretty cool.
Oh no, this is more like Star Trek teleport.
Oh,
only it's magical. So I will wave my hand and say some ridiculous thing like "a la peanut butter sandwiches," and they go into this completely blank state where their mind is not recording anything consciously. And then I will stand them up and move them to a different part of the room, or take off my shirt and put on a different shirt, and then I'll back, and they come back with no memory of any of the intervening. So to them, they instantly teleported from there to there, or my shirt instantly changed color or pattern or whatever.
That's so cool.
Oh, it's fun. It's really fun because, you know, sometimes my concentration is not what it could be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's somebody I'm attracted to, like, oh, say her, I might, you know, have a sort of an inappropriate thought, and then the clothes teleport and the body doesn't. And it can be a little embarrassing.
Anyone read? There's a book called The Fermata by a guy named Nicholas Baker, where he could freeze time and he does really not like really naughty things to people. And so like clothes disappear and reappear.
You know, that's actually a fetish all by itself. That's a kink. Time stop.
Time, wait. Now, okay, we're already into the field of things that seem like magic to me, like hypnosis. You know, I'm very interested now. I want to. Well, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But does that mean some people believe that they can actually stop time?
No, but there are people that really get turned on at the idea that, oh, wow, what if I could?
Okay, so it's like a kink, playing.
Yeah, it's a kink that people play with, a fantasy. Yeah.
Oh, can you, like, what about time travel and then suddenly a person walks in dressed as, like, George Washington? Like, do they do that?
If you prep it, you can do it. Or if they're really, really good at visual hallucination, you can have them think that they're seeing somebody dressed in colonial clothes.
I will take that.
Yes.
Because those wigs are very uncomfortable. This is so much fun. How are you all doing out there in the audience? Hey! Does anyone have any questions? Because we've just gone over a lot. And this, I mean, I know I've been a little bit of a skeptic and I've been pulling out information, but... like, how many of you believe in hypnosis now, that it actually exists? Like, so be proud. It's cool.
Hey, you know what's cool is there's actual scientific evidence now. There wasn't for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But now with functional MRI, you can actually put somebody in trance on a functional MRI and watch the changes in their brain. There's an actual part of your brain that lights up when you go into trance.
Tell us more science.
Real science, man. It used to be a, sort of like a religion thing. Do you believe? Then keep doing it. But it's actually an organic state of consciousness. Who knew?
Yeah. No, I'm into it. I feel like, because I like psychological play a bunch. Mm-hmm. Really more than impact play. Because I am like one of those people where it's like, if you make a rule, I will try and get around the rule any way you can. You know, like,
oh, so
things.
You love a good mind fuck.
Yes!
You have to come let me teach you some things.
Ah, okay, we'll talk after. Next time I'm in D.C. maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I have a question.
Hi!
Mm-hmm. Hi. So is hypnosis sort of... do you think it's kind of like a placebo effect?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hypnosis is what makes placebos work.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the power of belief. Some dude in a lab coat gives you a pill and says, this will cure your headache. Doesn't matter what's in the pill. Your headache is going to go away if you believe in that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Okay. The pleasure that you feel because of a trigger is pleasure nonetheless. It's not a placebo. It's real, mm-hmm. right? A placebo is somehow invoking that physical response.
A placebo is the physical embodiment of a suggestion.
Yes.
Is what it is. It's a prop.
But there's another aspect to it, which is that whatever we are as people is this result of various forces. And by taking somebody into trance or using neuro-linguistic programming, one way or another, being conscious about how you manipulate their experience, you are able to make permanent change. Because what are we but the way different aspects of our minds interact?
Nope, absolutely.
So if you are, for example, naturally inclined towards submission or naturally inclined towards dominance, then those aspects of your personality can be enhanced by cooperating directly with those parts of your brain. That's not really a placebo because it is the...
Well, the classic placebo effect is the mind believes it, therefore it manifests it in the body.
I like that there's a little debate here about the situation. Now, here's my question. When you tell people, like, everyone think about your right pinky, if you have one. Just think about it and make it really warm. Put all that warmth into your right pinky. I'm not hypnotizing you. This is the thing that people just do. Like, make your pinky feel hot. Like, when, I'm doing a terrible job, but I've experienced my pinky getting really hot. Do you know if when, like, that suggestion of, like, doing that thing to your toe or your pinky, does it actually pick up as hotter than it was before?
You'll perceive it that way,
no,
sure.
No, I mean, but like, you but know, like with science tools.
If you hold it
depends on how good your concentration is. If your concentration is good, yeah, you'll see increased blood flow, which will register, like on an infrared camera is more heat. Mm-hmm. And that's where the sensation comes from. Yeah.
So it will register. So it literally is getting warmer.
Sure, because your autonomic nervous system answers to your subconscious.
You know, I think it becomes like, it's like, because if I start thinking about my genitals, right, I can kind of I'll notice that they might start getting warmer and maybe more aroused feeling, just slightly. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're making your pinky aroused. Just
in a manner of speaking.
This has been a fun show. Have you two, up to you two. Have you all been having a good time?
Great.
Gavin and Tish, where can people find you out in the world?
Well, first of all, br.org has a calendar where all the special interest groups and other events, classes, like the ones you went to at the Crucible, you went a couple months ago.
I just partied, or watched everyone else party.
Or all the parties, for that matter.
She was there on college night.
Yeah!
Exciting time. Anyway, that's one place. And also on Black Rose, there's a Black Rose group where all the events are listed.
On FetLife, there's on a Black FetLife. Rose group.
Do folks...
You said Black Rose.
Well, there's an email on the Black Rose website to get you to somebody who knows about the erotic hypnosis
at br.org.
And can newbies that are not kinky come just to learn more?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And there's, you know, potluck, too.
And there's a potluck! I will say kinksters are very good at snacks. They're good at making the snacks. Mark, where can people find you out in the world?
Well, they can find me at FetLife, WiseGuy35. I have a blog. It's actually mindplayblog.blogspot.com.
Fantastic.
Where I blog about my teaching appearances and just interesting stuff that happens, the happy erotic hypnotist type stuff.
Okay, cool.
I also do a lot of classes. There's also hipbook.com, which is kind of an online meetup place for people that are into erotic hypnosis. We do classes there. On August 22nd, I'm doing an online learning where I'll be doing a lecture there on hypnotizing the analytical mind.
Oh, online classes.
Yes, online classes.
I've never taught online. I'm curious about that. How does that go?
It's fun.
Can you interact with people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so it's
live. The way Hipbook has it set up, it's live. You've got live audio. You've got live video from the ones that choose to give it to you. And you can be very interactive, and I love it that way. I hate just a straight lecture. I love to be able to talk to people and get feedback from people.
Right.
And Hipbook is HYP.
Yes, HYP.
Okay, that makes sense. I was imagining HIP.
Oh, no, HYP book. Yeah, .com.
Does anyone have hip.com? HIP, HYP?
Probably. I don't know, I haven't looked.
I'm not a marketing person. That could maybe be a terrible idea. This is like such a random question. Would any of you, does that seem interesting to take one of my workshops online if I offered that? Is that like a thing? I see some hands. I've just never thought about that. Like, oh my God, I could totally like just. Deep throat over the internet to tell people how to do it.
And you know, we can talk about that later too, because I'm doing an entire 100-hour professional hypnosis class online starting in September.
Holy heck!
Yes.
Well, all right. Does anyone else have any questions? Just want to make sure. You'll be around after, and we're going to go upstairs and hang out up there. So pictures and stuff upstairs. Oh my goodness. So I'm Sandra Doherty. If your friend dragged you here and you have no idea what just happened, I host a podcast called Sex Nerd Sandra. You just saw it live. I'm teaching a class in Alexandria tomorrow evening on booty basics, one of my favorite classes to teach. And that is at lotusbloomsalexandria.com, just so you know. I just got my mind blown so many times. I don't even know what's happening right now.
And on the count of three, you'll be completely awake and alert and remember everything.
This is a weird game. We just met. It's weird. I like it. Okay. Thank you so much for coming, and go Team Fun. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.